And welcome aboard to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Horowitz, and it is episode number 44. And we have a jam-packed episode today. We have two guests, actually, that we're going to bring on today. One from The Motley Fool to talk about exactly what does the acronym CAP stand for. And we also have Kate Stalter from Investors Business Daily, who is the writer and editor and the Markets Desk anchor. And she's going to share with us, hopefully, some really good insight into what's happening with the markets. It looks like a breakout is happening and occurring right now. And I think that she's the right person to ask about that. In addition to that, we're going to go over the winners from our last week's contest, where I gave away a copy of the Microsoft Money Plus software. That's going to be something I'm going to give away. And we're going to talk about what I did promise you was some stocks for this economic downturn, where to invest, and give you some really good tips. And I have a special report for you and a class and all that's coming up. So stick around and we'll be right back on episode number 44 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
All right, so I thought that what we'd do is start off the show with a visit from The Motley Fool. Actually, we have a guest from The Motley Fool to just talk about the CAPS program. We're here with Chris Hill, the Director of Communications from The Motley Fool. And if you remember last week, we had that great contest that gave away two copies of the MSN Money Plus software for naming the CAPS program. And I thought I'd go right to the heart of the matter and find out really what CAPS meant. So Chris, tell us what the acronym and the letters CAPS means for The Motley Fool.
The acronym for CAPS is, there is no acronym. It's CAPS stands for nothing. We've used some acronyms internally here at The Motley Fool, things like Community Association for Picking Stocks. But really, we just picked CAPS because it was evocative of investing, you know, with small cap, mid cap, large cap. It really fits with The Motley Fool brand, with the gesture cap. And it really worked iconically on the website. You know, the better your track record as an investor, the more colorful your cap becomes. But there is no acronym, I'm sorry to report.
All right, that's okay. That's all right. We got some great ones. And, you know, amazing that everybody wrote in with such funny ones like, community accepted players and all sorts of things about funny. We'll talk about that in a second. But let me ask you something. So tell us in your opinion what the benefit of CAPS is and how it works for the average investor.
I think the way it works for the average investor is a lot of people are not lacking for stock ideas. You hear about something mm-hmm. on television, you read it in the paper, maybe you get a tip or a suggestion from a financial advisor. CAPS is really a great second opinion when you want to see, well, okay, this is what this one person or this one source is telling me, but what do other people think? And on CAPS, we've got tens of thousands of investors as well as over 100 Wall Street investment firms and all of their recommendations plugged into the system, so that it's not just a wisdom of the crowd thing where it's just a herd mentality and this is what everybody thinks. CAPS is also a meritocracy. So people who have a high ranking on CAPS, they've earned it. They've demonstrated an ability to pick the direction of a stock relative to the stock market overall. So I think
which is great. That's great in this day and age when anybody can be an expert. I mean, the fact is by their own accord, of course, they can be their own expert, right?
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing about CAPS is one of the things CAPS just does is it just keeps score. People are saying, well, I'm a great investor. Okay, well, great. Come on in and make your picks and we'll keep score for how you're doing. We do that for the investment firms on Wall Street. And one of the things we've seen over time, and we have more than a year's worth of data now, is there are some investment firms on Wall Street that have fantastic records when it comes to making upgrades and downgrades recommendations. There are others that are doing quite poorly. So that's another way you can get a second opinion is if you're thinking about working with a financial firm and they're offering you, among other things, the benefit of their recommendations, you might want to see what is their track record really like.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what's the best way for people to check it out? And by the way, it's free for anybody to do it, right?
It's a free service, and it's you can just go to our website, which is just fool.com, and right up there, the banner on the top is a tab for the CAPS site. If you want to go directly to CAPS, it's just caps.fool.com.
All right, great. Hey, I have some of those names. We have Crazy Amateurs Pick Stocks, Can't Anyone Pick Stocks, Collaboration of Active People in Stocks, Certified Astrologically Pick Stocks. I mean, just it was all over the place. So I'll send you the list. Maybe you can work it into the really what it means one day.
I'll see if we can actually get something done on that.
I appreciate. Hey, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Chris Hill from The Motley Fool. We'll see you real soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew.
So the winners of the software were Francis Betty and Michael Leitner. Congratulations. That was a lot of fun. A lot of people had participated. And thank you both, and hope you enjoy it. Write me and tell me how you enjoy the software. I'll be to you any day now. All right, let's go to a couple of things. I want to tell you what's going on the site. We have a report on Dendrion, a stock that produces hopefully a soon-to-be-produced cancer drug. We have some economic review of the retail numbers, car sales, and a lot more. And I also wanted to talk to you about some of these stocks before we get into our interview with our next guest. But some of the stocks I think that are really beneficial right now are those that are going to have certain criteria. And I'll give you some examples. For example, we want to find stocks that have dividends right now, for example. You know, during these economic downturns, I told you that there's some things that you need to really focus on. I think we have to have stocks that really are providing a good amount of dividends as a safety valve, or at least some dividends. We want to invest in long-term proven winners, deep value stocks, evergreen industries like oil and potentially healthcare. And, you know, you want to make sure that you have those in a line. And then what you want to do beyond that is make sure to have the large caps. You want to have low debt to equity ratio, peg values that are low. You want to have high ratings. And I think that you can find these by using a simple screen. And what I did was I provided a sample. If you want to go to the website right now and get your copy of the report, that will give you about 16 stocks to invest in right now during an economic downturn. I'll be happy to send that to you free of charge, of course. That's my pleasure. So you can see what it's all about. You know, one of the things I talk about in my book is all about how to find stocks. How do you go out there except for maybe getting a tip from Uncle Al, or maybe you know, Bob and Henry on the shuffleboard court, or maybe you're playing golf one day. How do you actually find a stock? Well, one of the ways, the best ways I find, is to go on an unemotional basis using quantitative analysis and then filtering it further with some fundamental analysis and then further going into some technical analysis. If you have no idea what I'm talking about there, it's something I've been talking about on this podcast for a long time. It's a proven way of really understanding how to find stocks that meet the certain criteria for you to invest in. So what I did was I did this for you. I did the groundwork and I did the kind of the, you know, put the work into finding you a list of stocks that really are going to be beneficial right now. And they're in the broadcasting area, oil and gas, property management, et cetera. So if you want to get that report, go to the website. The names are like Aspen Insurance and Clear Channel Communications, Dow Chemical. Those are all on the website right now in the show notes. All you have to do is just kind of just request it, and I'll just send it right to you. It's a PDF and gives you all of the ways that I looked for the stocks, a summary of recession preparedness, and an overview of what I look for. And I think that you're going to find some real winners. So I did the work for you. It's a little bit more than I could talk about on the show. So just go over and grab that right now. And finally, what I wanted to talk to you about was one more piece of information. There's, you know, as you know, that I had put a class together. And we had a successful class, and we actually moved the date. Mark this down your calendars. There's a free class that I'm teaching on all the aspects of portfolio mastery and really how to make sure that your portfolio is really up to par and up to snuff, as particularly in this environment. The next one is going to be coming up on February 28th at 5 p.m. Again, that's on the site as well. We get back, we're going to talk with Kate Stalter, who's going to give us some inside information, not really the inside type, but really more of an insider's look at what's going on with the stock market. I want to ask her, they just came out, Investors Business Daily just came out with a brand new and groundbreaking way of looking at stocks. And we're going to talk to her with that in a moment. And when we get back, we're going to really dig into finding out what stocks to invest in during this economic time and really during this uncertainty, because there's a lot of good ones, I'm sure, out there. And hopefully she'll give us some insight into that. And you're listening to The Disciplined Investor Podcast. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Looking for answers to today's complex financial markets? Then be sure to get your copy of The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success, your all-in-one guide to investing. Order now at thedisciplinedinvestor.com or your favorite bookstore. The Disciplined Investor. Together, we will reach success.
And now back to The Disciplined Investor Podcast.
All right, welcome back. This is Andrew Horowitz on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. And as promised, we have a great guest with us today. It's Kate Stalter from Investors Business Daily. She's a writer and editor and the Markets Desk anchor. So thank you so much for joining me today, Kate.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks a lot for having me on the show.
So I'm going to pick your brain a little bit, because I think that in a conversation before, I told you that there's a lot of people asking about, you know, what to do right now. And they're nervous and they're scared. And how long have you been doing this investment journalism? Let's start with that.
Well, I've been with Investor's Business Daily for about a little over 7 years. And I can tell you this, it's been a really interesting time because I've had a lot of opportunity to meet a lot of the customers, investors who are at various stages, you know, folks who are just starting out or maybe people who have been investing for years. And you're absolutely right. There are a lot of common questions and concerns that people do have. And that's part of the fun of having the opportunity to show people a system that Bill O'Neill and his colleagues began developing decades ago that really has proven to help people make more money in the market.
Well, I guess the question I was, and that's an excellent point, and I'm a big fan of Mr. O'Neill's and all of his books, and I've read a bunch of them we'll get into in a minute, but and his newspaper, of course, and the things that he's done, and I think they're brilliant. But have you ever seen a market in all the time you've been doing this, and not only the market, but the whole, you know, the whole kind of overall feeling of what's going on, like we've seen in the last, I don't know, let's say the last 12 months?
Well, you know, to be certain, there has been a lot of volatility in recent months. Let me say something right at the start of this conversation, though. We're speaking on Tuesday, the 13th of February, and as of today, our market outlook has changed because we did see the NASDAQ have a follow-through on its rally attempt that began about 16 days ago. The NASDAQ had a phenomenal day today and heavier volume than yesterday, so that actually does change our market outlook now to market in confirmed rally. And this is based on a measurement that, again, we mentioned Bill O'Neill a moment ago, that he and his colleagues discovered many, many years ago. And no bull rally has ever begun without the follow-through day. So that's what's so significant about it. You really need to have that to confirm that a new market upturn is underway. And you know, Andrew, there is one caveat I do need to add, though. You mentioned the volatility, what's been going on in the markets. That's absolutely true. We're all aware of it. About maybe 20 to 25% of follow-throughs do fizzle. So there's always that caveat that you have
right.
to add, but no bull market's ever begun without this follow-through day, and we did see it on the NASDAQ today.
Well, what's interesting is if we do, in fact, get into a bull run or a bull market or at least a turnaround from the, you know, the concerning, if at least the bear or the correction that we've seen lately, it would, again, be a short-lived one, and bears usually are shorter-lived than rallies that we've seen. But When you talk about the follow-through, what do you have, a 2% follow-through? Is that how, explain what exactly a follow-through in your terminology is.
Right. You're looking for one of the major indexes to have a gain that day of about 2%. That's exactly what you're looking for. And the volume has to be heavier than the previous session. And the follow-through day most frequently happens days 4 through 7 after a rally attempt mm-hmm. is underway. Now, today it happened on day 16. And we've had them in the past when they can happen even further out, like day 21 or so. So that can happen, but they tend to more frequently over history. They've happened on days 4 through 10. So basically, right now, we just watch to make sure that the rally, that the trend does continue. And, of course, if it does reverse itself, as it does about 20, 25% of the time, then, of course, IBD's market outlook will also.
So what do you do now? So as an investor now, I hear that you're saying that, okay, things are a little bit different than they were a few days ago because we were in a questionable period. Now we're in this period that we're defining as potentially a bullish or a rally mode. What do I do as an investor?
Okay. Well, one of the things that we've been, and a lot of the CanSlim investors and IBD subscribers have been aware over the past few weeks, there have been a lot of stocks that have been forming healthy bases lately, finding institutional support, stocks with great fundamentals, and that's one of the things that IBD does always track, stocks with great fundamentals that the institutions are continuing to buy. We've seen a lot of those stocks rising out of healthy base patterns. So there are quite a few that are looking good right now. You're looking for earnings and sales growth of at least 25% from a strong industry group. And one of the things that actually, the timing is really good on this, Andrew, because IBD just introduced a number of changes to the paper just yesterday.
Just yesterday, and, yeah, no, it's great. It's amazing. It's a matter of fact, from what I've seen, it's really quite remarkable, and I think something, it's groundbreaking, quite honestly. It's something, you explained it better than I will, but basically you're kind of turning stock tables on their ear and really presenting them in a much different fashion.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I know a lot of people have gotten out of the habit of using stock tables because,
right.
frankly, first of all, most
it's on the web. What do you, it's the day after, right? Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing there to watch in most newspapers. So, and in addition to that, even if your paper that you happen to read carries one, they don't tell you much more than maybe high, low, and closing price for the day. Now, IBD has, for many years, carried more information than that. But what we've done with the stock tables now is arrange them according to sector. And that's a really major innovation, because we say a lot that, and it's the market really bears out the fact that leading stocks come from leading industries and leading sectors. It's not just the case that investors, institutional investors, tend to support one random stock. They really tend to support a group as a whole. So now these stock tables in IBD are arranged according to sector, so you see the leading sectors in the market every single day. And then you'll see up to 10 institutional quality stocks under each sector that are highlighted on top. So right away, you have an instant list, a watch list that you can begin to choose from and begin to do further research. It's ready-made. Because we all know, everybody's busy. Everybody has busy lives. And right. People would love to do better in the stock market. But how can you know how to do that? How can you know, out of all these thousands and thousands of stocks to sort from, how do you know which ones to focus on? And that's what we want to help people with. So
well, it's interesting. You know, what's the best is, you know, I love your weekend edition, by the way, you know, because you get a much greater depth of the kind of the weekend review, I guess I would call it. But one of my favorite things is I'm a big fan of the library. Although, have you been to the library lately, by the way?
Oh, there's one across the street from my house. Sure, it's great.
weren't we not supposed to talk in a library? What happened?
He does that now.
No, I sit there, I'm trying to read. I'm like, well, look at him, what's happening? It's like a party in here. But anyway, you know, what's great is, you know, in the libraries, they have, of course, a lot of newspapers. And invariably, if you head on over there on a Saturday or a Sunday, for that matter, and you go in and you watch just the tried and true, the diehard investors that use newspapers, which maybe it's a little bit old school in some regard, but of course, you know, still it's where, you know, whether you're online or offline, it's the same data. It doesn't matter. I mean, I think it's still the same data. But the fact is that they're sitting there and they're going through their IBDs with their pencil in their hand, with their scratch pad to their right, and they're looking through the tables to find exactly the key metrics that you're talking about here. And I do it too. I mean, I'd be there every Sunday doing it because I'm an online kind of guy, and you know, you can use your online to filter a lot faster than I can maybe in the paper, or you know, again, it's what you're used to. But I think it's you know, and frankly, one of my absolute must reads in my book, in the chapter of Tools of the Trade, the number one place to read is on a daily basis is IBD. That's the place you want to go. And I kind of, you know, said to the other ones maybe as a secondary paper. But besides me touting you, because I'm a big fan, I'll be honest with you.
Great.
You know, the fact is that this new way of looking at things. What is the average guy out there, even the new or the seasoned investor? What do you think they're going to get out of this different than they got out of the tables before?
Well, the real overriding goal of these changes was to make it easier for people. So, you know, you're mentioning these folks who are at the library poring over IBD's tables. Now it's going to be easier for them. They're not going to have to be in the library poring over tables as long, because you're going to have your top stocks in the top sectors that are right there at your fingertips every day. Like, for example, today the medical sector was the top sector, and I noticed there were a handful of stocks that were listed right at the top. There's a great research list for you to begin with immediately. Excellent fundamentals, stocks that are holding up, getting institutional support, and this is exactly what investors need to be looking at, and we just want to make it easier for them. We've also added a number of articles in the paper addressing some topics that we haven't addressed in the past, international leaders, long-term investor, income investor, and actually one of my favorite columns that I'm seeing in there, the new one that they just did, is called The Base Read. And I think a lot of IBD readers or people who are really interested in learning how to read charts are going to find this column very helpful. It kind of walks people through a chart and how to interpret the base. By the way, Andrew, let me say, you were talking about online. All of these changes to the paper are available in EIBD, the online version, so for people who are more comfortable using online, and many, many folks are these days, all the same things can be found on the online version. Also, we do some videos. I want to do a plug for another free product that we do. It's called the Daily Stock Analysis, and I do these myself most mornings. Sometimes Ken Shreve fills in for me. And every morning we analyze a stock, whether a winning stock or maybe one that has some flaws, and we walk through the base action, we walk through the fundamentals. So basically what IBD is trying to do for folks these days is really give people many, many more options to identify leading stocks faster and to understand maybe what some of the flaws are that they want to avoid.
All right, that's good. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, if I could just call your paper a mean, lean profit machine, I mean, really basically what it is the fluff isn't there. It's just the right. Cold, hard facts and just the facts. Thank you. You know, and we're not talking about, you know, Mrs. Jones' cat in the tree, you know.
No.
that's the difference. Right, exactly.
And unless he becomes a company and he's a winning stock, that's the only way.
Exactly. So, all right. So now let's just get back to another point and before we take a quick break, but I just want to ask you now. So to get back to this idea that we're in a breakout right now in terms of the in the markets in general, and the NASDAQ in particular, let's just stick with that. You know, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of bit of concern about recession. And here's my question. If we were in this is what really kind of bugging me a little bit. If in the last 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever the time period is, we've seen stocks pummeled, right? I mean, let's just talk 2008 for a moment, 2008. So we saw stocks just pummeled. The data on those stocks, for the most part, is no different than it was mid-2007. The only differential is the economic, the forward look on the economics. You know, today, one of the big reasons, I think, was that people realized that, I think going into today, and I blogged this early about 7:45 this morning before the retail sales number came out, there was a big concern that people just were not buying anything. Like, they just did not buy a thing, right? You know, and there's this concern that everybody is, you know, the sentiment indicators, the consumer indicators in terms of forward-looking and investor optimism or not. Mm-hmm. And there was this real big underlying thought that, oh my gosh, I don't think anybody's been in a store, and what kind of a retail number are we going to get here? And then they come out, and it's, what, 0.3 today, which was the expected number. And then obviously right from that number, the market started shooting up pre-market. And, you know, it was very apparent to me that it was like, wait a minute, how bad are things going to get? And how bad does it have to get to where the point we are, where you see a stock like an Apple as an example, I mean, just as an example, coming out with great quarterly numbers. You know, they have, they're at, I don't know, $180 a share or something like that. And they do great on the quarter. The only thing is they seem to slip up on their iPod sales, which, I don't know, maybe it's me, but the reason the iPod sales are down is simply because their iPhones and their iTouches are cannibalizing the iPod sales, which is what's supposed to be happening. Anyway, that's my theory. I don't get the whole thing. It really kind of is very, you know, you have to scratch your head and wonder. Meanwhile, the stock is down, let's say 40% from its high, or 35%.
Taking
a terrible beating. And I question, what is the, you know, and now we're into this quote unquote, maybe a bull market. What happened? I mean, was it this kind of time period that really didn't occur? Was it something that, you know, was artificially pushed down from, you know, those on high, if you will? I mean, what's the difference between now and then?
Well, you know, Andrew, your question really kind of goes to, again, this definition of the follow-through day and what was discovered decades ago about turns in the market. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Markets ebb and flow. There's no question about that. We're mm-hmm. going to see good markets. We're going to see bad markets. That's always going to happen. One of the things that, and if you've read some of Bill O'Neill's books, and I certainly do recommend his books to your listeners, How to Make Money in Stocks, a terrific primer.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Investor. And one of the things that Bill talks about in his book, and he mentions an awful lot in person as well. I was talking to him the other day, and he mentioned it again, in fact. The markets turn when you least expect it. Because if you get to the point, again, like, you know, like you're saying, all the news is negative. You're watching television, everybody's talking about how bad things are, everybody's expecting bad economic reports to come out. And then when everybody is kind of steeped in fear is just when the markets turn. And the problem is that's why a lot of people miss the beginning part of a rally, is because they're so afraid and they kind of have beaten up in the market. They don't really mm-hmm. believe that things are turning around for good. So this is why...
Well, this is where the average investor loses out time and time again.
Right, exactly.
And this is all the behavioral finance, because I talk about this, and I was just bringing back a memory of a discussion I just had when I say I've said it 100 times that when it is I say to clients, when it's the worst time, when you think that the market is just awful, when you are just so upset about a stock or your portfolio, and you just want to come by and throw a brick through my window, do me a favor, stop for a second, tie $100,000 check around it. Throw it in the window then, because it's probably the best time to invest. And when you say that, it's, you know, stock markets turn around when you least expect it, I'll go one step further. Stock markets turn around when most people generally least expect it or least believe that it's going to turn around. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Consistently on both ends, by the way, when it's always going higher, it turns around on that side. And when the opposite is true also, it's the same thing about the real estate market. Look at that. When the average guy finally got in and said, I'm going to be a real estate investor, what happened? I mean, they got trashed.
Well, and this is why it's so important to be watching for these definitive proven signals on the low end. And as you just mentioned, when the market's been rallying for months and months and everybody thinks it can just keep going, you have to watch for distribution days, which are days of heavy volume selling, to indicate signals that the rally is weak. So you're absolutely right. It's about separating the emotion and either the fear on the downside or the giddiness on the upside from really what the market is telling you. It's all about what the indexes are telling you.
Right.
And that's been a method that has proven to make a lot of people a lot of money over the years. And it's
I agree. Listen, when we get back, we'll just hang on for a second. I want to ask you about two things. I want you to explain CanSlim in a very succinct manner, if you can.
Sure.
And I want to ask you about stock buyback. So stick around for a second. We'll be back on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you are looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Call for your free brochure today. Toll free, dial 888-964-7526. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
All right, we're back with Kate Stalter from IBD, who's given us some great information on the potential for a little bit of a bounce here in the market. So let's go back to maybe if in a question about what sectors are, you know, often found to be, from your research, often found to be the ones that will lead the market into a rally.
Well, you know, that's different in every rally. One of the things mm-hmm. that we often point to is the fact that every new rally will bring a new crop of winners to the forefront. And right now, what we're seeing, and we just talked a few minutes ago about the overhaul to the stock tables and how the stocks are listed according to sector, if it's the best performer. Right now, medical is at the top of the list, and energy is the second. So again, if according to our new tables now, new way that you can go in and find leading stocks very easily, there are a handful of top medical stocks that are listed there and some energy stocks that are listed for people to look at. So again, it's not necessarily that there are certain sectors that are going to lead any rally. They're going to be different every time, and that's a great thing.
That's interesting, because you would think just intuitively with the political campaigns in full gear here and the potential for what seems to be Democrats really pouring on the idea of having a, I guess they're calling it, you know, maybe a universal health care plan and really trying to do something about efficiency with energy and alternative fuels, that those either are the ones that have been, those two sectors you mentioned, are the ones that have been beaten down in advance of this and maybe kind of turning in this situation, or maybe been overlooked because of some fear there. That's an interesting thing. That's back to our original thesis of when we think it can't get any worse and maybe the best time to invest.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. It's just a matter of politics, and an election year certainly does affect things. But one thing is, it definitely helps to know what is the news that is driving the market, why certain mm-hmm. sectors, why certain stocks are doing well. You definitely want to know what's behind some of these price moves.
Right. So let's talk about CanSlim. And for those of people that don't know about this, I'm going to give a quick plug for Mr. William O'Neill's book, Books, with a big S on the back end, because there's so many great books that he, as a matter of fact, on Amazon last month, we were paired with him. My book was paired with his, which was great, because I was all excited about that. That was great. It was a good month of sales. Thanks, everybody, for buying my book out there, The Disciplined Investor, a little plug. But, you know, one of the basis of what he, you know, this whole CanSlim, and which obviously is an acronym. Why don't you take us through very quickly the letters and what they mean and how they are utilized?
Right. Well, it's actually not an acronym. It's a system. It's a method of investing that really allows people to look at all the elements that go into leading stock. Let's just walk through it. Call it the seven traits that great stocks share before they make a big price move. That's really my simplest way to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And the C is current quarterly earnings. You want to make sure that in the most recent quarters you've had earnings growth of 25% or higher, sales growth the same. A in CanSlim is annual earnings. You want to see annual earnings also 25% or higher. And one of the things that I've heard Bill emphasize with the seminar audiences is don't get too fixated on that 25%, because the biggest stock winners have growth that's much, much higher, like in the triple
digits.
Right. One of the big leaders that we saw a few years ago was Hanson's Natural, the energy company.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, you know about that one. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah. H-A-N-S, Hanson Natural. Sure.
And that
was, we all bought that because we couldn't buy the Red Bull company because it wasn't traded publicly.
That's right. That's exactly right. But, you know, the one of the things of Hanson's, and this is not that unusual, that company had triple-digit earnings growth even before it began that big move. Mm. So that's really one of the things we always emphasize with the current and annual earnings. You want to see a minimum of 25, but optimally much higher. And in canceling, it's for new. There's always something new that is driving the growth. Maybe it's a new product like energy drinks. Maybe it's a new service. Maybe it's new management. Maybe it's a newly public company. Our research has shown 80% of the leading stocks have had their IPO in the past 8 years. It's a phenomenal number. So a new company, management, new price high. So a lot of things can go into that new. You want to make sure there is something new that's driving the growth. S and Can Slim is for supply and demand. Makes a lot of sense there. You want to just be seeing the demand, be pushing the price higher. L is leadership. We talked a little bit a few moments ago about the leading sectors. Leading stocks come from leading sectors and leading industry groups. That's what you want to see. It's not about finding some beaten down stock that you think maybe has some potential or is undervalued. Look for the one that already has that tremendous growth, that's leading its industry, that the institutions want. And speaking of that, that's the I in CanSlim, is
right.
Institutional sponsorship.
Yep. Which is very important.
Oh, that's key. Yeah, you got to see it.
Yeah.
They
can make a break. The fact is they can make a break it, let's be honest. I mean, that's the end of the story there.
Well, you know,
support, they can push it any way they want.
You know, you're right, Andrew. I mean, one thing that I think a lot of folks don't realize is that the institutional investors, not the retail investors, but it's the institutional guys who account for about 3/4 of the market activity.
Yeah.
And, you know, that surprises a lot of people, but what you're saying is exactly right. Those are the guys who move stocks up and down. So as the individual, what you want to be doing is to be seeing what they are getting in on. And IBD has several ways of providing that information. We have a lot of tables that do show you the leading buys of leading funds. We do have our volume charts. And by looking at the volume on a chart, you can see whether a stock is being bought up in heavy volume. And as Bill O'Neill sometimes says, that's not your aunt down the street just picking up a few shares.
Right.
Those are the institutions. So the final letter in CanSlim is the M, and that's for market direction. We've talked about that already today quite a bit. You only want to be investing when the market is in a confirmed rally. Now, one interesting thing about when the market is in a downturn like it has been, 90% of leading stocks form their bases, their areas of price consolidation, during a market downturn. And that makes sense, because here's another statistic for you. 3 out of 4 stocks follow the market's direction. So if you're trying to kind of outsmart a bear market, the odds are very much against you. And I'm sure a lot of people found that out in the last few months.
Mm-hmm. Don't fight the tape is the bottom line there. I mean,
that's right.
You know, I say to people all the time, you know what? You know, if you're standing on a beach and there's a wave coming, it's a moderate wave, fine. You know, you may be able to stand up to it and it may not, you know, bowl you over, if you will. But if there's a tidal wave, a 30-foot wave coming, sorry, buddy, you're going down with it and you're going to be awash on the beach. And that's the same thing about trying to fight the tape. And of course, then that question of market timing comes in and, you know, should I? I mean, the fact of the matter is, as I have preached over and over again, and I have taught, you know, for the last 6-7 months on my podcast, in my book, and I wrote about this, you know, you have to have, number one, disciplines is what we're talking about here. You can't just off the cuff say, oh, I'm going to buy that stock because I heard about it on the shuffleboard conversation, you know, 2 days ago.
Right.
The second thing is that you have to leave emotions at the door, okay? You have to kind of check your bag and say, you know what? If you want to be emotional about something, you know, do it somewhere else. Go to a movie, get a good cry. Don't do it with your stocks. Don't do it with your portfolio because you're going to lose every time.
Well,
you know, no, intuition doesn't work.
No, that's exactly right. But getting attached to these stocks for any reason doesn't work. Your metaphor of the tidal wave there, that's a great one because that's exactly what happens. You don't want to get washed away in this bear market, and too many people try to hang in there or to be buying, and it just doesn't work. So now that we have gone back into a confirmed rally, we've seen that confirmation signal today in one of the major indexes. So that changes your approach. But this is why this is. That's actually what I like to say sometimes. M is the last letter in CanSlim, but in some ways, actually in every way, it's the one you need to consider first, because that determines whether you're going to be buying, holding, maybe paring your portfolio a bit, or else just completely in cash.
Right. I agree with you. I mean, again, I think that the education is great, and I think that the things that you offer are wonderful. And, you know, and I'm going to also put a link on the site because I know that you have a special, I believe it's a 2-week free offer for the newspaper. Is there also a offer for the website, or how does that work?
There absolutely is. It's you can get a choice of whether you want the newspaper in paper form or the online form. You can absolutely do that. And I definitely recommend that folks check it out because now is a fantastic time to do it. Not only have we introduced a lot of changes to make it easier for people to find stocks faster, a couple I wanted to mention too, Andrew, that I neglected to mention before, we have a list called Stocks Just Out of Vases. These are institutional quality stocks that just cleared a price consolidation but are still within 10% of a proper buy point. And then we have another list called Stocks in Bases. These are institutional quality stocks that have been forming bases for the last 5 weeks. So a lot of new features here to help people spot emerging leaders before a big run-up. Great time to check it out, and especially right now as we have a new rally.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, people, you know what, I think that I'll tell you something. You know, here's the one point. Investing in stocks or the markets or mutual fund, whatever you want to call it, but investing in the markets, one of the hardest things to do is get the tip, if you will, the lead. Now, and I don't mean a stock tip, but I mean the idea. And if you can conquer that issue, if you can find where to get the information to give you the ideas, I think you are, I mean, as an investor, how would I do it as a professional advisor and investor? How would I do it if I had to constantly try to reinvent the wheel on every single day and every single moment? I think that would be just be stupid. I mean, I have to use tools. And right. Again, it's just silly how people, you know, will just, you know, invest on something. You know, the Peter Lynch way is great, but, you know, that's not how you invest all the time. You don't know everything out there. Do you know that if you don't drink, you know, these beverages, these you know, action and sports beverages like a Hansen, or I mean, how would you know about them if it wasn't for something like your newspaper, stock screens, or any of these other tools? I mean, it would be impossible. You'd be missing an entire section of investing.
And that's where a lot of where IBD's tools, like the screeners that you just mentioned, we do have a lot of screening tools on the website, the ratings. This is exactly, Andrew, what you're saying, where all of these come into play, because a leading stock will kind of jump up and say, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm here at the top of the chart. It may be something that you've never heard about before,
right,
but this gives you the opportunity to research it and say, hey, here is something that the institution's like that's doing something brand new. I should look at this a little further.
Yep, I agree. Well, thanks for joining me today. Your information, and I think the timing of this, we couldn't have planned it any better for talking about when the breakout is occurring.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe in the methodologies because I do believe that it brings a lot of the many things that I've written about have an interesting parallel, whether it's subconsciously my readings and my studying of the work over the years or whether it's the culmination of what just actually works and how it came out. But a lot of things that I think that really are the basis and I guess the point is of successful investing. It just always leads to the same path, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
That's definitely true. Good observation.
Yeah, so, all right. Thanks for joining us, and I hope to speak to you real soon.
All right, Andrew. Thank you very much. This has been fun.
Oh, that was pretty cool. I thought we had a great time talking there. There's some really good information that she has to offer. If you want to make sure to find that out yourself and how to find the best information, I recommend Investor's Business Daily highly. I'm really pleased that I was able to get Kate on the show because she's just a really a great information source. So thank you so much for listening to that. I think also if you want to get that free report, go to the website, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, check it out. There is a report that gives you the 16 stocks or so that I recommend right now during a recessionary and a economic downturn, if you will. And then finally, if you want to sign up for the class, go to the Disciplined Investor and check out where it says free class. And finally, I can't get away from a plug for the book. Make sure you get your copy of The Disciplined Investor, The Essential Strategies for Success. If you like what I say on the show, well, you know what? You're going to like it better in print. I promise you that. We have amazing reviews, and hopefully you have had the opportunity to check it out. It's pretty cheap. I mean, under $20 to get some great stock tips really isn't a lot of money. So check it out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and we just got the insider tip that guess what? Audible just accepted us. So finally, after a few months of being in review, Audible has accepted it, and it should be available for download very shortly on the audible.com, the Amazon, and iTunes on the iTunes website. So thank you so much for joining us. Next week, we're going to have another great opportunity. If you want to write me, ask Andrew at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Well, that opportunity that I talk about is to find out how to be profitable in the stock market.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.